I want to share out of some personal experience this morning. It's not often. Well, Pastor Ralph does this quite often. He really shares his heart and just weeps up here over this congregation. I want you to know, Pastor Ralph loves you. If I've heard anything in the time that I've been here, you are loved by Pastor Ralph and Christine, and then the whole leadership of this church, and you are very, very blessed. We are blessed. We are, Doreen and I are blessed to be a part of this congregation. But something happened to me over the past number of months that you know that word, you got hit broadside? You weren't expecting it? Years ago, when I first got saved, I thought I'd come to the place where nothing will really bother you anymore. You know, you're in Christ, you've got your solid foundation, you've experienced just about everything. And then when I thought, in the ministry, after 42 years, nothing can really shake you. Nothing can rattle you. You can get to the place where you just kind of like a duck, you know, just shake it off, runs off your back, and nothing bothers you anymore. But boy, I found out recently that some of the areas where you feel confident in, and maybe you don't watch it as much as you should, you can get hit pretty hard. And I got hit pretty hard, really hard. And I want to share that with you because I found this out over the years, that often what pastors will experience, it is because the congregation is going through the same thing or may be going through the same thing in the future. And so I want you to listen. Of every age, I want you to listen, especially the young people this morning, because we sometimes don't realize that we are in a warfare. So let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take these words, allow them to find fertile soil in our hearts this morning. Cause them, Lord, to come alive, bear fruit in us, and change. And Lord, at the end of this service, as we pray for anyone who may be under this kind of an attack, I pray there would be a release and a freedom in this house today. Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence to come and touch our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to speak on the subject, such a man. Such a man. Because that's what the Bible says, such a man. And I'm not referring to the male species. Is that understood? That needs, I'm talking about such a man, such a human being. Whether male or female, young person, whatever age, such a person. We're going to address that, such a person. First of all, let's look at this scripture. This scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And in let me give it to you, in the King James, that we would remember, you probably heard this many, many times, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Have you ever heard that scripture? You've heard it for, I'm sure, many, many times. I went to the Living Bible. We're going to use the Living Bible this morning. And I said, Lord, how did Dr. Taylor put that so his 8-year-old daughter could understand? Because that's why he wrote the Living Bible, for his 8 and 10-year-old children. He said, I want them to understand God's Word. And so he wrote, and this is what he wrote. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. In other words, this is the truth we need to know. Satan is not omnipresent. Have you ever heard somebody say, boy, I had a real attack from the devil this morning? Well, you didn't have an attack from the devil. You had an attack from one of his demons. You had an attack from one of this networking of evil forces that are out there to harass you, to attack you. And here's the number one goal that he has, to cause you to lose faith in your God. To lose faith in his promises. To get you away from what you have learned, what you've heard, what you know the Word of God says. When Jesus was about to leave, he said this. It was such a concern on his heart. And he said to the disciples, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on this earth? You're thinking, you say, would he find big churches and successful ministries and missions organizations? But he said, will he find faith? Will he find faith? The very first attack on mankind Did you really believe God? Did he really say that? Can you really trust him? Come on. And that's what his attack. Through this networking, he wants to attack God's people and rob you and me of our faith. Our faith. Can I ask you a question right at the beginning? Where is your faith level this morning? Do you really expect God to do what his word says? One more verse before I get into my message. In Peter, he put it this way. He said, be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion looking for some victim to tear apart. He's attacking our faith. Now, again, when he uses the word Satan here, you understand, not necessarily Satan himself, but the networking. Once the demonic forces under him at different levels, we're fighting a spiritual war. Do not forget that. I don't think we should go around every day, every moment, thinking, I'm under attack, I'm under attack. Not that at all. But we should recognize that we are in a warfare. We must keep our armor on. We must keep aware that he is going to attack us and attack our faith. Is that okay? Is that doesn't like scare us away, right? It shouldn't do that. Okay, let's go to the next slide there with those three chairs. Just click it one more time. I wasn't sure if we would have three chairs here this morning, so I put that up there. Often when I have a couple in my office over the years, and they're having problems, one will sit here and one will sit here, and I'll say to him, what's the problem? And he'll say, she's my problem. And I'll ask her, I said, what's the problem? She'll say, he's my problem. Well, what does the scripture say? We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And flesh and blood are sitting in those chairs. Come on. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And so what I would often do if I saw I wasn't getting anywhere with my counsel and my genius. That's a joke. I go and get a chair out of another office. And I'd say, you have an enemy. This relationship has an enemy. And your battle is not with her, your battle is with your enemy. And your battle is not with him, your battle is with your enemy. Right. Folks, this is realism. This is the problem. Mainly in marriage, because he knows the enemy wants to destroy the trust in marriage. But in relationships between the flesh of a parent and the flesh of a son or daughter, hello. Sometimes the flesh of an employee and the flesh of the employer. Sometimes the flesh of a neighbor and the flesh of another neighbor. Come on. I'm going to come right home here now. Sometimes the flesh of a churchgoer and the flesh of another churchgoer. And who is the problem? Right here. You have an enemy. He wants to rob you of your faith. That's where we're going this morning. A number of months ago, I allowed worry. I was worried about, and I used to have this little, I thought it was funny. I realized it was not funny. Sometimes we get little things in our mind and we say them and people laugh. And I used to say, don't tell me worry doesn't work. Most of the stuff I worry about never happens. See, that's funny, isn't it? It's supposed to be funny, but maybe nobody thought it was funny. You got that again? Most of the stuff I worry about never happens. So therefore, worry must work. That's not true, folks. There's no place for worry in our relationship, in our Christian walk, in relationship with God. But I allowed worry to become fear, a spirit of fear. There is such a thing. The Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear. But I allowed a number of circumstances over the past 2 years, 2.5 years, to build and build. And then other things, family situations and other things, until I realized that I had gone from a spirit of fear to a spirit of dread. Dread is like a cloud, a dark cloud that sits over you. And whenever you think of that situation, it's like you think of it through a darkness of a cloud. I shared some of it with Pastor Ralph, and we prayed together. And I was going to say I went for a coffee with Pastor Bob, but you know, if you went out with him, he didn't drink coffee. So I had the coffee and he had an orange juice. But I was sharing with him that I'd come to the place where, and my wife was aware of this, that even if I was at a mall and I heard a phone ringing, I would think, they need me. There's a problem. And you say, that's so ridiculous. But folks, if you've never had it attack you, you don't understand it. But if you've had it attack you, you know exactly what it is. I'd be in a person's home visiting. Dorian and I would be out visiting with some couples. And the phone would ring. And that's for me. My heart would start beating inside. Folks, that's a spirit of dread. Dread is the fearful anticipation of a disaster. Regardless, you make it up. You take your worries and you exaggerate them, things that probably will never happen, but you live them in your mind until they come against you and come against you and come against you. It was horrible. I was still here. I was still trying to preach. I knew what was happening on the inside. And one day the doorbell rang. I went to answer it, and it was Pastor Bob with the Bible under his arm. I said, come on in. So he sat down, and I said, why are you here? He said, I've come to set you free from a spirit of fear. I love that. I love it when somebody cares enough and has the confidence and the authority come into your home, a pastor's home, and tell me he's going to cast something out of me. I said, do it, brother. Let's do it, because I don't want this thing. I don't want this thing. And he prayed. And I want you to know, I told him, it left. It left. The spirit of fear left. Spirit of dread. I don't know if there's a spirit of dread, but the dread, the heaviness. You know what I saw in my mind? I saw myself sitting in a room, like our family room, and he was gone. This enemy was gone, but he was outside looking in the window just to see if I'd really received something. The enemy lurks about, watches. They tell us in Africa, in the Serengeti, that's how the lions hunt sometimes. They look for the weak. They look for the young, the old, tired. And they'd get in the long grass. And when the animals would be old, they'd just roar. They let out this horrible roar. We've heard it in the zoos. And it just shakes the ground almost. The wildebeest or whatever it is will panic. And then he'll pounce on one. And that's what the enemy was trying to do to me. Trying to just bring me to that place. I wish I could say, after that prayer, everything opened, hallelujah, no more problem, I'm the man of God. Didn't happen. Doesn't usually happen like that. It's a lot of this is the re-sanctifying of our minds, the replaying of our mind. But I know something was broken that day. But I felt the lurking of the enemy that wanted to bring it back on me. 4:30 one morning. 4:30 one morning, I couldn't sleep. And I had the Living Bible by my desk here, by my side, and I turned on the light and began to read. Folks, I've read this. I've read the Psalms. We used to read the Proverbs every single morning for our family. We know the Psalms. But I did not see Psalm 112 until I saw it that morning at 4:30. I want to share with you what I saw. And what set me free from the spirit of fear and the spirit of dread? Will you allow me to walk you through quickly with this morning? This is what I saw. I'm going to put it up in the Living Bible for you. Praise the Lord. For all who fear God. A few months ago I talked about what fear was. It's the most positive. Fear, the fear of God has the most promises attached to it than any other truth in Scripture. We were just down in Florida. We were at Nassau, or what? Where were we? Cape Canaveral. And we went through and saw all the rockets and everything. But they were showing two movies that I just wanted to see in 3D in the IMAX theater. One was the building of the space station. That was incredible. The next one, we waited hours to come back and see the building and the repairing and the restoring of the Hubble telescope. I've always been fascinated with the telescope. So we went and sat, they put on our glasses, and we went into outer space with a new zoom telescopes that they had. They took us out there where it would take 120 billion light years to travel to. And then they began to show the creation, the symmetry, the design. And as they were finishing off and coming back to Earth, and the planets were just flying right by us, and all the nebula and all the... if you can go and see it, if you're like me, faith is restored in your heart that if there's a design like that, there's a designer who put it there. Amen? A creation, a creator. And I saw this. I saw and experienced the fear of God in the most positive way. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. Study that and see. Who created, who maintains the heaven of heaven of heavens. That's the God. That's how we start. I believe I'm talking to every one of you here this morning who qualify here. Amen? The fear of the Lord. Anyhow, I'm not supposed to be here yet, so I'm going to keep on going. The word there is Yahweh or Jehovah. And trust Him are blessed beyond expression. Yes, happy is the man who delights in doing His commands. His children shall be honored everywhere. I said, I'll take that, Lord. 4:30 in the morning, I said, I'll take that one, Lord. And listen, and for good men's sons have a special heritage. Come on, somebody say amen. Are you with me here this morning? Talk to me, okay? Holler back at me. His children shall be honored, and his good men's sons shall have a special heritage. He himself shall be wealthy. I said, hallelujah. I never knew that was in there. I don't know what else it says in the other scriptures, but I said, okay, now listen, wealth doesn't mean you have a lot of money in the bank. Wealth means that everything's working for you according to the good life. I have come that you might have good life. That's part of that wealth. Okay, and his good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes him, light will come bursting in. He is kind and merciful, and all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. I said, I like that, Lord, and I kept reading. Next one. Such a man, that's where I get my title for this morning. He says, such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. He does not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what may happen. You believe that jumped out of the page at me right there. He does not live. He does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen. Why? For he is settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. Somebody, come on. Jehovah will take care of him. And that is why he is not afraid, but can calmly face his foes. He gives generously to those in need. His deeds will never be forgotten. He shall have influence and honor. Evil-minded men will be infuriated when they see all this. They will gnash their teeth in anger and slink away, their hopes thwarted. Hallelujah. God bless his word to our heart today. So, who is this man who can expect this kind of return on his righteous and godly life? I'll tell you this, it's you. It's me, it's every one of us. Because I believe every one of us here this morning qualifies for these conditions. David certainly did not himself, right? David was not a very good character. But David saw prophetically. He understood prophetically. And where we would fail in these areas, we have an experience at the cross and three words that say, it is finished. Yeah, hallelujah. And my failures were met at the cross through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I more than qualify, you more than qualify. When your heart is in a position to fear God, you more than qualify. So let's see who such a man is. Okay. A man is all who fear God. You got that one up there? I underlined all the condition, all about you this morning. You fear God. You trust in Him. That's what's coming under attack, your trust. Blessed beyond expression, happy is the man who delights in doing His command. I had a little talk with the pastors here in tongue last Tuesday morning, and I said, I said, are you keeping the commands? And we all, I said, are you keeping Sabbath? Boy, that led into a real discussion. I don't have time to talk about that this morning. Are you keeping the Sabbath? Who delights in doing his commands? Go on to that. He himself shall be wealthy, and his good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes him, light will come bursting in. He is kind and merciful, and all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. Such a man. And can I say? Such a man. Such a man. My Bible, under chapter 112, or Psalm 112, it says, honesty pleases God. Fair balances. It pleases God. Bible often talks, I'm going to throw this in quickly. The Bible often talks about fair balances. In those days, if you were a merchant, let's say you were selling flour, you would have a balance. You'd have a big kind of a bucket on this side, and you have a place to put your weights on. You would put a 5-pound weight, and then you would put in 5 pounds, and when the balances come out, you know you had 5 pounds of flour. But some of these guys weren't fair. They had lighter 5-pound weights. Lighter. So when you started pouring, it's not 5 pounds, but it's balancing. And so those who could afford it had their own 5-pound weights with them. See? And they would say, before you put the flour in here, let me put my 5-pound weight in here to see what your 5-pound weight is like. And all the crooks and cheats got found out. And God says again and again, he says, I honor those whose weights are honest. That's what Pastor Bob's kind of talking about on Sunday mornings when it comes to offerings and stuff. Are you honest when you come across the border? Are you honest? Honesty pleases God. That's the name of this chapter. So just look quickly at this then. Such a man. But we've just, us, right? Yep. Just say this with me. I am such a man. Even the ladies. I am such a man. He will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Does not say he will not have things come against him. But he will not be overthrown by them. What does this mean, evil circumstances? It means circumstances that are keeping you from going in the direction that God wants you to go in. Doesn't mean it's necessarily satanic. For instance, when the disciples got into the boat and Jesus said, go across to the other side. They rowed and rowed and rowed and rowed all night. And they weren't getting there. Why? The winds were contrary. That's all it was. Contrary winds. We will have contrary winds. And not necessarily demonic winds, but contrary winds, things that come against us when we know we should be going in a certain direction. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Young people, there are such things that will try to keep you from God's will and purpose for your life. There are contrary winds. But here's what it says. He will not be overthrown by them. It does not say he will not experience them. You will have contrary winds. Jesus said in this life, offenses will come. But you will not be overthrown by them. Come on, somebody say, I will not be overthrown by them. Why, I'm an honest man, that's why. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Watch this now. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. When I read this is what came to me, the words of Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want people to be attracted to the kingdom of God, to be attracted to Christian living because of the blessing of God on my life. Come on now. When you can't pay your bills, that's not attractive. Amen? You may go through seasons of testing. There may be times when you've got to stand in faith and speak the word, but it is not glorifying until people see your good work. Maybe it's good works in the midst of the testing that impress them so much too. Are you with me here? They will see. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. Boy, I'm going to pause there for a minute because somebody's meditating on this right now. I would like to write the word Selah. Stop and chew. stop and chew on it for a minute. Is your life making a deep impression on all who see it? And then this part was what jumped out at me. It jumped out at me so much that I've been living with it on this pink page. I was out with two guys 2 days ago, Thursday, for a coffee. And I said, have you seen my pink slip? They said, did you get fired? I said, my pink slip's a big slip. And see what it says on here? He does not fear bad news, nor live, listen now, nor live in dread of what may happen. Folks, the Holy Spirit read my mail that night and led me to the right kind. I don't know how many different Bibles I've got at home. But he led me to the Living Bible. And for some reason, I turned it to Psalm 112 because he wanted me to hear, you will not live in dread of what may happen. And I was taking stuff that wasn't happening, and I'm speaking that it will not happen, and I was inflaming that, and the enemy just bring it to its worst. Absolute worst. I'm dwelling on it. This literally has changed the way I think. Pastor Bob opened the door. The enemy left. And then this kicked out dread. Kicked it out. He does not fear bad news. That doesn't mean bad news will not come. Come on. I'm not talking perfection, a little euphoria here where nothing goes wrong. We live in a real world. With some real situations, some real problems. But you will not fear bad news. And then you will not live in dread of what may happen. Amen. Okay, the next one. And this is why. This is why. For such a man, he is settled in his mind. And I want to help us this morning settle in our minds that Jehovah will take care of us. You know what got me all excited? The first time there I mentioned the name Yahweh, Jehovah, and he uses the same word here again. He could have used the El words for God, like Elohim, the great creator. He could have used El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, El Elyon. He could have used the Adonai word, the friend, the master, the Lord. But he uses the word, when God entered into a covenant with Abraham, he said, I am Jehovah. I keep covenant. If you will do this, I will do this. I will keep covenant with you. David put that word in here, and I put a blank next to it. Because this word Jehovah needs a postfix. We've been talking about it. I know Pastor Ralph and others who have come through here have taught on this. See, at this time, David needed someone who would fight his battles because he had a tremendous number of enemies. And he would have put Jehovah Nissi. He fights my battles for me. Do you feel sometimes that you just need somebody to come and fight for you? Then you just be settled in your mind that your God has given you a name, Jehovah Nissi. I will fight on your behalf. David was a shepherd. He understood the importance of a shepherd. And he would have written in there, when he felt all alone, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. There were times when after he sinned with Bathsheba and he lied and he got Uriah drunk and the stuff that David did was horrible, folks. And I'm sure there are times when he felt, I have no righteousness of my own. And he would say, I'm settled in my mind that Jehovah Tsidkenu, or Jehovah Makedesh, my sanctification. He is. He has provided it. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, he has given us a breastplate of righteousness. He is my righteousness. Hallelujah. I have to settle in my mind that. I have no righteousness of my own. But he is my righteousness. What name do you need to put in there this morning? How about Jehovah Shalom? We love that. We know that one, right? Shalom has a prefix. It means the Lord, your God, has entered into covenant with you to be your peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says that if we will pray and intercede and give thanks, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God, which we can't understand. Amen? You need a few other names? Jehovah Rapha. A lot of us need healing. A lot of us need a touch in our physical bodies. He said, I've settled it in my mind that Jehovah Rapha will take care of me. Come on now. He will take care of me.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Such a man will not be afraid. Wow. You see why that why it became so powerful for me? It became, thank you, Pastor Bob, for coming, for being obedient and coming and praying that, and then the opening of the door. I know I had to share this morning because there are those here today who are living under a cloud of dread. You look to the future and it almost seems hopeless and you're saying, I don't know where to go from here. Let me put up, I'll close with this little story. Put up the heavens for me there, would you? How many have ever seen a satellite go over? You ever seen? When we lived in Simcoe, let me just put this back on. We built a home out in the country, and it was dark out there. We had a big porch in the back, and often after Doreen would go to bed and the kids, I would sit out there, and I'd just pray, and you'd see them. They're little tiny stars, and they're moving like fast. They're not planes. They're satellites. There are dozens of them up there, mostly weather and communication satellites, and I've counted as many as a dozen in one night. A few years ago, I was sitting where we live now in Font Hill. We have a little backyard porch there. And Doreen had gone to bed. And I was sitting back there and I was praying, kind of with my head back. All of a sudden, I said, Lord, are you even listening to me? Ever do that? Don't look at me so holy. I said, Lord, are you? Is this how it works, Lord? I just talk to myself and you hear me? Like, is this really how it works? Do I not have to go into church or get oil poured over me or take off my shoes or, you know what I mean? You think that you need to do something more than just talk. And I come to that place where I said, Lord, are you even listening? Then I did something I don't recommend. I said, Lord, I'd like a sign. And I heard the words of Jesus, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I said, but Lord, I'm going to ask for it anyhow. I said, I want one of those satellites to go over and get bright. Just illuminate bright. And just pass over. Three minutes went by, approximately, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement. And I looked at it. I said, there's one. And it started getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. When it was over me, folks, I honestly got I thought it would explode. I honestly thought this thing was going to explode. And then it started getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Now, those of you with analytical minds, you would say, well, I know what that was. That was the arms of it or whatever those things they have on the satellite, catching the sun at the right angle and just yet. And I agree. It's the timing. I had never, I'd watched literally hundreds of satellites over the years when I'm sitting in the back. I'd never seen one get any brighter than it was when I saw it till it went by. It impacted me. It took me about 3 days to tell Doreen, and I never told anyone. And then the little liar who wants to rob me of my trust and faith said, "You know what? You fell asleep. You asked for that. You're up there by yourself, and you fell asleep and dreamed it." Two weeks went by, and we used to meet every Thursday morning with a bunch of men and pray with them, go through the proverb of the day. And one of the men, I hadn't seen him for a few weeks. And so one night I called him up. I said, "How are you doing? We're missing you at Bible study and prayer." He said, "Yeah, I'm sorry." And he started talking about his doubts, you know. And I said, "You know, I've been having some doubts too, and I asked God to do something for me." And I explained to him, first person, Doreen was the only one, first person I said anything to. And all of a sudden he said, "Pastor Cute, I saw that." I said, "What?" He said, "I saw that. I saw it. Let me explain what I saw." He said, "I was ready to, 2 weeks ago, I was ready to go to bed. And then I remembered I hadn't put the garbage out. I went to the shed, got the garbage, took it to the front. And on the way back into the house, for some reason, I looked up. And I saw exactly what you just explained to me. I saw it." I said, "What is that?" Tell you what that was. That was God just giving Pastor Cuke a little shot of faith. I don't recommend it, because somehow it's attached to unbelief. Somehow. But I'll tell you this, folks. I'll tell you what it did for me. When I asked that question, "Now, are you, Lord, are you, did you really mean this, that whatever we ask the Father in your name, you would do it?" I'm reminded. Hear me now. God hears you when you talk to Him. You got that? God hears you when you talk to Him. You say, "What if I don't have enough faith?" He'll hear you anyhow, because He wants to increase your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me put some quick things up there, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and sing that song. I asked them especially. Oh, no. He'll never let go. Wouldn't those words powerful? We want to sing those words again. Anyhow, let's do the last slide quickly. Let's read it together, shall we? Ask the Holy Spirit, our teacher, to remind us that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as your deliverer and yield yourself 100% to Him. Acknowledge Satan's defeat and confess daily that he has no legal right to attack your thoughts. Fill your mouth with the promises of God, especially the Psalms, Psalm 112, and sing. Oh, no. Come on up with your worship team. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I want to be, before we close in prayer this morning, before we close the service, as we are singing this song, if there's anyone here this morning, and I know by the Spirit of God that there is, I heard you listening. I saw some of you not listening, and I'm very concerned with that. But I heard you listening. And if this word this morning speaks to you in a way, I would like to pray the same prayer, similar prayer to what Pastor Bob prayed over me that day, a prayer of deliverance from fear. Come on now. A prayer of deliverance for the future. If you are looking to the future with any kind of fear or even a little bit of dread, we're going to sing this. And while we're singing it, you come and stand here at the front and we'll pray that prayer of deliverance. And let's believe that the people of Jubilee Faith Center will be delivered from fear and the spirit of fear and the spirit of dread that may be holding us back as a church. Amen? Hallelujah.